Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959 with myself, Gugule Tumfupi. Now, over the last few months, years, and decades, really, we've had the opportunity to witness significant levels of transformation, growth, and expansion in South Africa's banking fraternity. Typically, we once knew and called and referenced the four banks as the major leaders in South Africa, but now we certainly know that there's more than four contenders within the banking fraternity. One such institution is Capitec Bank. Once started amongst the campus community within Stellenbosch University, has now really transcended to find itself impacting the lives of South Africans, not just in terms of transactions, but helping to grow and develop businesses as well is where we see the bank performing. To help us unpack not only his journey, his philosophy on banking, the evolution of his leadership, and perhaps just some interesting insights around being one of the founding fathers of Capitec Bank, is the outgoing CEO of Capitec, Mr. Gerry Fourie. Gerry, it's always a pleasure to speak to you. I've spoken to you, Jish, many times on results, on opinion pieces, on new product launches, and this one, geesh, it's bittersweet, but I believe it's going to be interesting. How are you feeling, though?
Good feeling. It's actually the last time I'm talking to the media on behalf of Capitec. So, yeah, it's a strange thought, but it's also exciting. I think it's challenging times, as you know. On Friday is my last day. Yeah. And then it's a new chapter. I think for 25 years I've been part of Capitec. I was one of the founders. Yeah. And I think it's exciting that you actually stretch yourself to go and do something differently and not keep on working. So I see it as a nice opportunity, a nice second half that I've got.
You definitely have a second half, so don't go golfing for too long because we need your wisdom still in the banking fraternity. But maybe let's start there, Gerry. As you mentioned, 25 years is not something to scoff at. And even if we take a look at the last 25 years in South Africa, from an economic, a social, and political point of view, there's been a lot of shifts and changes. And I'm quite keen to understand for you, when you reflect on your 25-year journey, are there a few highlights that stand out for you, specifically related to banking in South Africa?
You're talking banking or you're talking Capitec?
Banking, and then I want us to get to Capitec.
I think you know, if you look at our banking, actually has changed, and I think we had a big hand in it, changing the way banking was done. If you look at, you know, 2000, I remember, because I was coming out of liquor and didn't know anything about banking, and visiting banks, you had these very thick glasses that you talk to the consultant on the other side. You had to whisper somewhere through so a person can hear you. You had a massive amount of paperwork that you had to do a particular transactions, and the transactions were slow and cumbersome. And I think for me, always the interesting thing is banks open at 9 and close at 3:30, which
Saturday,
didn't make sense.
Saturday morning visit, right? to town.
yeah. And it didn't make sense to us. So I think banking has changed a lot in the last couple of years. And I think if you see now what digital has done, how that has changed. And I think what has happened in the last 4 or 5 years, you've seen how other companies, the telecommunications companies has come into the financial services world. You've seen Shoprite, Checkers, PEP, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's an exciting new environment. You know, it's more not banking, but financial services.
100%. I'm glad that you referenced that because there have been significant changes, many of which Capitec has really been a key in terms of driving. And maybe let's go back 25 years. As you say, no banking experience, but you came in and as a collective, essentially started to shift the dynamic of what banking truly is. From one of the early examples that I recall reading about Capitec is the fact that it was essentially launched on a campus just to see if students would actually adapt and adjust to it. Maybe talk us through the early days, especially from a regulatory point of view, you know, customer awareness, and how you really got involved, for those who aren't familiar with your story.
I can keep you now busy for about 2 to 3 hours because it's 25 years. But it's, I think what we did is, you know, four of our founders came out of liquor. And the one thing we understood in liquor was how the townships was operating, how the rural areas is operating, how the clients are thinking, and really being client-centric. I think If I look at a retailer, I've always said look at the client first and then at risk. If you look at a bank looks at risk first and then the client. And I think we've shown that if you're client obsessed and you go out and you take banking and you make it simplistic and transparent so the client can really understand what's happening with his financial lives, what a big difference you can make. And I remember those first 6 months, for about 6 months, we thought about what should our fundamentals be. Rian was very strict on fundamentals because he always believed if you had fundamentals, you stick to those fundamentals and you go through. And we said accessibility, affordability, simplicity, and personal service. And once we've signed that off, every single decision that was taken in the bank, and even today, we had a very long exco on Monday, and everything came back on those four fundamentals, and then a very, very strong what is best for our clients, really plowing back and think differently about our clients and the value that you offer to your clients. So it's been an interesting journey, a journey of what I classify as three phases. The first one is to build a brand. We were seen as a cash loaner, a microlender, and it took us 12 years to build it to actually be recognized as a bank. And then we were a bank for lower income people, and then we changed it to a bank for all South Africans. Interesting, when we wrote the business plan, we said we want to bank 95% of South Africans. Must be a bank that's accessible to all people,
Yes.
not only for a certain segment. I think that's where people misread us. So that first 12 years was building a bank and building a brand. And when you build a brand, it's all about consistency, consistency, because you build trust. So your people must be the same, your processes must be the same, your promotions must be the same, your product must be the same. It's building that consistency. And then 2012, 2013 is actually moving away to digital. And I think that gave us a massive advantage, because what we moved is move all our transactions out of the branches. And at our branches, that's becoming actually a selling and connecting with our clients. Today, 2012, 2013, 90% of our transactions were in branch. Now, 90% of our transactions is on the app,
Sure.
and we're actually really selling. So that's why it's so important for us to have 880 branches. It's a very important part of connecting with the community and working with the community. And then I think the third phase was changing from a pure retail bank to a financial services or services company, where today we're selling insurance, we're doing value-added services, we're doing connect, we're doing business banking, retail, and we're really optimizing our 24 million clients. So I would say three big phases that we had in Capitec and where we are today.
100%. And you're quite right in terms of that digital journey and the transformation, now seeing your customer numbers upwards of what, 22 million, if not more, the last time I checked. Going back to some of the interesting nuances around the story of the founding of the bank and even the naming of the bank, I know that Stalking Giants is a book that's been published by TJ Stradom, which highlights the history of the bank and, of course, the journey that many of you had participated in. Take us through the interesting stories around the name, the logo, and just trying to build this brand that primarily was penetrated the lower income segment of South Africa at the time.
It's interesting. We had an outside brand agency, I can't remember the name, that came up with the emblems. And myself, Carl, and Carl Fisher, our previous marketing exec, and Rian was working on it. And when we saw the emblem, and the emblem as we know it today,
Yes.
we immediately said, this is what we like, and this is what Capitec stands for. And then we went into the name, and interesting, we went through a lot of names, and Capitec always came out third, and Capitec was capital and technology,
Yes.
Capitec, combining the two, and it was always number three, and it couldn't break through. But at the end, we said we like Capitec and Capitec Bank. So that was a much longer process to get to the name. It's also interesting, we were obsessed to have Capitec Bank and building that brand. And in 2017, we've actually said we'll take bank away. So you don't see bank anymore we see Capitec and the logo. And we always said we'll know when the brand is strong enough. If you see the logo, you would recognize Capitec. And then think the jingle that everyone knows about when you swipe. It's also
Yes.
associated with that brand. It's also
Ding, ding,
interesting
ding,
when
ding, ding,
we
ding. That one,
affiliate
right?
with that when you swipe now on a point of sale machine of ours, you hear the Capitec jingle and you always hear it on
Yes.
an ad. So that's part of our DNA. It's also interesting when we open branches with Capitec. We didn't open up one branch. We went into the Bellville area and opened five at one shot. So it was just that bold, decisive decisions that we've taken. I came back from one of my visits to Transkei, and I said to Rian, but I only saw two banking branches. It was Meatbank, which was a trust, and Absa. And we immediately, I think within 8 months, we opened up 20 branches in Transkei. So it was that just thinking differently and believe in what you're doing and execute on it.
Yeah, 100%. You move very fast, you move boldly, and of course, with scale as well. I'm also keen to understand some of the regulatory shifts that you've witnessed in the industry. And this really, over 25 years, I can imagine, can be quite something. Interacting with the Prudential Authority from a licensing point of view, the capital adequacy requirements from the SARB as well. And of course, where we are now, where we're actually witnessing a shift in the payments environment, where banks and non-banks banking institutions will essentially be treated on the same level. I'm intrigued by your thoughts on how quickly South Africa has been able to, I guess, keep ahead and be internationally regarded as being competitive when it comes to banking regulations.
That's interesting. I'm just going back. When we started off, we thought we were going to go to the Reserve Bank, and I think it was 12 million rand, 12 and a half million rand, and we'll buy a license from the Reserve Bank. Give us a license,
And then you realize it doesn't quite work that
and
way, huh?
then we can operate. And then they said, it doesn't work like that. And we said we need to acquire existing license. And PSG Bank had the old business bank license, and that's why we were listed and we got hold of the business bank license. But the regulatory side, I'm first going to talk about the National Credit Act, because remember, we are unsecured lending, and when we started off, we were lending at 30% per month. We cut that very quickly to 15% per month, and where our interest rates are now. In 20, I think 2007, the first act come out, and that was game changing. Changing, you have to do certain affordability assessments. You had to do certain caps on interest rates. There was new regulations coming in 2013. Insurance regulations came out, and that actually transformed the whole credit or the credit situation in South Africa on the unsecured side. And it's interesting, we've got Avafin, which operates in five countries. And when we bought it, all five of those countries had no National Credit Act and no regulations, and you can do whatever you
Sheesh.
want. And still today, two now three of the now two of the countries have got still no regulations, and it's completely open. So it shows you we were far ahead on the regulatory side. I think on the capital side, I think the interesting side was, not so much the regulators and what the Reserve Bank wanted, but it's actually more on you unknown. You've got no reputation. You haven't built anything. You need to get capital. Where do you get capital? And then you had the 2008, 2009 crash where we thought we were going to raise capital, and suddenly there was no capital. And we had to do rights issues and things like that to actually get capital. So I think it sounds quite easy what we've done, but it's been a long, hard work being the underdog and then working your way up and get
Yes.
the recognition on a funding point of view. I think if I look at the regulators, if I look at the Reserve Bank, I think they've done an excellent job in South Africa. If I look at our financial stability,
Yeah.
it's been very stable, and I think we've done exceptionally well. And I think all credit to them. I think what has interesting now is the new challenge that's coming up, and that is now the new players in the market that is coming in, and then your banks, and how do you make certain that your playing field is exactly the same for all people, and everyone plays on the same playing field. So I think that's going to be interesting. And I think what the Reserve Bank and where we're going in payments, I think that's very exciting. As you know, we really want to change payments, and we really want people not to use cash. 14% of our transactions are now cash, down from I think 100%, many years ago. And I think it's a journey. I think it's exciting what's taking place. And I think there's a lot to learn of what's happened in Brazil and India, and bring those best practices into South Africa.
100%. Kheri, something that's also intriguing is, I guess, the shift in terms of talent when it comes to the banking fraternity. We've spoken before about the unemployment crisis in South Africa and perhaps that we should review how it's measured. But most importantly, what we've also discussed in previous conversations with yourself is no longer are you just looking for the finance graduate. It's those in technology. It's those even with an engineering background. And I'm quite intrigued just to understand again how, especially in a market like South Africa, we need to focus on the development of the necessary talent that can assist us in the evolution of banking and payments going forward.
I think 10 years ago, to having an engineer in Capitec was like we had 10 or 15 of them. And then I still couldn't understand what is an engineer doing, because they're supposed to build bridges and roads, etc., etc. Now we've got over 750 engineers working for us, and it's from cloud engineers to data engineers, etc., etc. We don't move with engineers. The same if I look at data science, if I look at machine learning, AI specialist, data specialist, that's the future where people is going, and the needs that we've got. So I think the skill set has changed tremendously in the last 8 years. And I think the important thing is, I think that's where we've got a massive challenge in South Africa with our education system, which is not producing the right caliber of people. I really strongly believe you must look at your education system, and you should look at a very young stage, let's say grade 7 or 8, you must say these are people that will go into professional areas, these will be artisans, and these will be entrepreneurs, and then give them the full skill set to go into those particular areas. So we need to really think about our education and how do we change it. I think what we've realized from a Capitec point of view is you need to develop from within. So we bring people in from a young age and develop them with different academies that we've got. We've got a marketing academy, we've got a tech academy, we've got a data academy, etc., etc. And that's all internal courses that we run to develop people and grow people. I think that's where we've seen is to say we bring our people in, and it's quite interesting. We've got a philosophy now that 70%, 75% of our people must be promoted from within. We are actually now on 68%, and what we are doing is we're bringing our branch people in into our head office roles. And in very exciting into the business banking side, because now suddenly you're sitting with your branch managers that can become business managers, relationship managers. So it's quite exciting to see how the people has developed.
I find that
So
so
yeah, I think it's
intriguing because I love how you talk about the development of talent internally and of course the skills we need to focus on. And even a few headlines I've seen about you being bad at maths back in school. Not too bad for a guy who now runs one of the biggest banks,
I think it
huh?
was pure. If you look at the matrics today or matric results, I wouldn't have had qualified for university. I got a C in matric, but it's because it didn't excite me, it didn't interest me. And
Gosh.
when I got to varsity, it suddenly interests me, the whole business side and the BCom side. And it shows you, I think there's too much pressure at school level, because you develop later and you really understand. I've got a very big thing about passion. You need to understand what drives you as a person, where do you want to go. I didn't want to become a CEO. I want to build businesses and being an entrepreneur, and but that's what I'm doing at Capitec. So that's why I love my job. So yeah, I think there's a lot of challenges that we need to think about our education system and developing our own people and growing our own people.
100%. Gerard, something else that you, Gerry, excuse me, I wanted to say Gerardus because I know that's your full name, so maybe I'll go there. But something else that you comment about quite often, not only in terms of internal skills, the development of your people, but it's also the culture. And as a leader, you've gone through a number of crises. As you've mentioned, the global financial crisis, you witnessed high interest rates in South Africa. We also saw the dot-com bubble. Of course, we can't forget the pandemic and everything else that has also had an international influence on a market like South Africa. I'm quite keen just to hear your reflections on leadership and how, I guess, you've had to adapt. Are there any key leadership lessons that stand out for you that have influenced you and also how you show up for your team and staff?
I think what is critical if you're in a crisis or you're in a difficult situation is to be calm, to sit back a little bit, and then to really ask yourself who's your stakeholders, and then to work out a strategy on your stakeholders. I look at COVID. It was so uncertain; one didn't know what is going to happen. But we ask, what do we need to say to our clients? What do we need to say to our staff? What do we need to say to our media, to our shareholders? And we worked on different strategies for those people. Suddenly you were clear, because what I'm going to say to a shareholder is completely different to what I'm going to say to a client is completely different to what I'm going to say to a staff member. And I remember what we said is, if I look at a staff member, is everyone is uncertain. What they expect from management is to make decisions. Don't delay it. Make decisions, and if it's wrong, go out and change the decision. And we as an exco got together for 45 minutes every single morning at 7:30, and we tackled the issues and we said yes, no, we're going to do X, Y, Z, and we said go out and let's go and do it. And there's some decisions that were wrong, and somewhat luckily the majority was right. But I think that's where you need to be decisive, because if there's uncertainty, people are looking for decisiveness and bold. And I still remember in that May, I said to the team, now we're going to cut our budget, but I'm looking for big cuts. I want to cut once, and I want to cut final. I'm not going to redo the budget. So I want you to really be, we're not going to lay off any staff member. So go out there and change your budgets dramatically. And we cut our budgets dramatically. And then that July, I said to the team, all the other companies are now going to still say, how do we survive in COVID? I'm going to say, how do we grow? And that's where we really went into digital and really grew digital and value-added services, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's that ability to think differently when you're in difficult situations. We tend to be bold, be different, but decisive. And the one thing I've learned about leadership, I think people make leadership too complicated. Leadership for me is very simple. If people understand the why you must do something, they execute, they will perform. So it's critical to make things simplistic and transparent and clear, that your people that you're leading fully understand why you want to do certain things.
100%. Gerry, I don't want to let you go, but sure, there's so much more we could discuss for hours on end. So clearly we need a Bosparade, a braai, or I don't know, a final
I've got a lot
segment
of
for you.
time now.
And that's the point, right? So what is next for you? Some gardening leave, some golf?
I'll definitely play some golf. That would be quite nice. No, I've said I'm involved in conservation, so I really want to focus on conservation. We're three shareholders that owns Kundwana Nature Reserve, and I really want to build that and actually really grow, because I believe tourism is an area that South Africa was really focused on. So I believe there's a lot of potential on tourism and unlocking the potential in tourism. We've got a beautiful country, and we've got so much to offer. So how do you unlock that potential? I think I really want to work with our junior leaders and develop them, grow them. I'll definitely say Tom side for Graham and Grant and our ExCo team. And then I'm going to work on our international strategy. So I've just got a different phase. I'm not taking on the CEO responsibilities, but I'm more in a advising, consulting, and I think really developing our leaders of the future. That excites me.
100%. Gerrie, before we let you go, I can imagine there'll be a lot of analysis around the performance of the company under your leadership in the last 25 years, whether that's the share price, whether that's the customer numbers, whether that's how you've been able to divest and diversify your portfolio into international markets. But what is the legacy that you are most proud of as a leader that maybe we can get some insight into?
Look, I think, there's the clear strategy, there's the people that we've developed. But I think, Kiko, we had a very big debate in 2013, 2014 to say, how do we make certain as we grow bigger, we keep that small company culture? And then we go and look and say, if you're a small company, what do? And we said, you're obsessed with your client, you've got a massive amount of energy, you take ownership, you've got accountability. Go and look at all the small businesses and how do we make that part of our DNA? And what we've done is say every single person should be a CEO. And the C stands for client, the E for energy, and the O is for ownership, where you really went and go and say, you are accountable of your division, your function, your particular area. Even if you're a consultant, you are the CEO of your desk. Take ownership, have the energy, take accountability, go that extra mile. And I think that's created something different. And how do we grow on that? That for me is probably one of the nicest stories of Capitec.
Meneer Fourie, ons waardeer jou tyd baie. Feesgeluk. And I guess that's where my Afrikaans. Thank you so much for your time. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you, sir.
No, it's lovely to always have very open conversations. And I think even if we had stressful results, there was always that openness. I really enjoyed our conversations. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Gerrie. Appreciate you always being open to conversation, speaking to our listeners as well, and just helping us get a different perspective of the bank and the institution. So, as you said, you might be in the background, so we just might call you occasionally just to pick your brain on a thing or two. But thank you again for your
That'd be
time.
lovely.
Do take care.
Thank you.
Gerrie Fourie, the outgoing CEO of Capitec Bank.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.